Hey, everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
Therapists are clowns. Gringos think therapy could fix everything. If you don't trust me, just trust me. What's the problem?
Kyle, my life is private, okay?
Speak Spanish. Y'all speak Spanish?
Man, Manuel continues to deliver. He is so absurd. It's like I crack up every time he's on screen. And then there's Ashley over here like, I just don't know. Are there red flags? Like, yeah. Yeah, there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, she's like really seriously dickmatized. I mean, I don't know.
His cock must make her colorblind that she can't see all these red flags.
Seriously.
I don't get it. She's one of these people, like, very much like Kim on tow, that is incapable of practicing what they preach. Tanya is the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Like, tries to project to the world this image of uber-empowered feminist, and then is settling for the most toxic machismo douchebag ever.
Really? Yeah.
That's... I mean, hilarious, but just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really confusing, and... we've seen it before. Like, we saw it with Molly and Luis. We saw it with Tanya and Sinjin. The sky is worse almost because he's hiding it less. And he definitely...
I kind of appreciate that.
I do too. Oh, it's way better TV, trust me, because it's so obvious to the viewer.
I would rather have that than Sinjin, who is just like faking all of it. And underneath there's a very thin veneer, and underneath he's like a disgusting person.
Totally. But we called this in the beginning of the season, like, Manuel is the breadwinner for his kids and his family. And because he's not working in Ecuador, he's needing to send money home and he can't work. So he's sending Ashley's money home.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, it seems like he's asking her for the money and not doing a Johan.
For now.
I'm like, right, does now, he have access, like, to this? Like, what?
I have no idea. We'll see how long it lasts that he's asking. But it's funny to me that he, in the preview, he's like, so incredulous that she is confused about this, like, sending money thing, you know? It's so great that he just assumed from day one they'd be sending a shitload of money back. And she's like, what? These people don't talk unless it's with Ashley's vagina.
I just love that Ashley says... Essentially, she says she feels like the side chick. And I'm like, yeah, because you are. You are. This guy has a wife and kids back in Ecuador. You are the side chick.
Even if she's great TV. Even if she's literally not, like, even if he's not having some kind of affair or has another relationship, he is treating her in a way that I think most American women would perceive as side chick behavior. Like, he's not giving her the relationship that she wants, like, even close.
He says he doesn't want to tell her about his private life over and over and over again. And she nails it when she says in her ITM, I am your private life.
We enjoy private life 4 times a day.
Yes. It's... Oh, Manuel, great, great casting. There was a lot of funny shit this episode. I just, Rob bringing this one sad single rose is like a metaphor for all of the effort he puts into anything in life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to make it up to you. He says I'm going to make it up to you for the rest of your life, starting with this rose. Wow. That would concern me, Sophie. That wasn't even a half dozen roses.
Oof. I love that she literally calls him out for that's the exact same thing you told me the last time this happened.
It's like, dude, so you can go to Trader Joe's and get like a $12 bouquet. Instead, he just one rose from like whatever pharmacy was closest. It's sad.
Rob makes me think that in high school, he saw the hottest girl on campus not having to put in any effort and thought to himself, that can be me. I'm good looking. I can do nothing. And women will just fawn all over me, which, you know what, might actually be true for a short period of time. But then you're going to be miserable your entire fucking life because you're not going to have real relationships.
Seems to be working out for him, which is really infuriating. His apology was basically, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I could have put my cock in. I mean, I would have if I had the opportunity, but I didn't. So what's the problem? It could have been a lot worse.
That was his apology.
I am completely capable of doing far worse to you in this relationship. Please accept me back because I didn't do the thing.
Rob, she's just young. I have to remind myself she's 10 years younger because I can't find any other reason why Sophie, a seemingly down to earth ish person, is like taking this shit. But you know, Gino over here is hoarding old napkins from birthday parties 17 years ago. So I just don't know what to think anymore, Kyle.
I don't think
a napkin that's 17 years old.
You know, come at me. I really do believe in this case. I believe that Gino just didn't know it was there.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
This man isn't keeping this stuff because he's sentimental. He's keeping this stuff for the same reason he's keeping that giant load in his toilet, which is he's just like a messy person.
He's gross. Yeah.
But you know that Jasmine's going to look through your shit. So like clean out your stuff before she arrives.
Kim, he couldn't flush the toilet. He's not going to go through his drawers.
Yeah, you're right. I need to set my expectations a little lower.
Your expectations need to be low, 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 low.
He was also really busy at the strip club the night before she came.
Lower than the lowest quality evidence we've ever had. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ass Bongos is back, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think we'll get more strip club footage next week?
We're going to get way more than we could ever have wanted of Gino with an ass in his face.
Do you think we'll get some upper thigh saxophone as well?
God, I hope so. The thing, like, I wonder if at any point, okay, so listen, like, at the point of filming this season, this is two seasons after Jasmine had a male stripper shove his cock in her face. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Good recall.
Well, I only remember that because that was one of my most successful memes ever. It's like, remember, like, she was wearing green and he was wearing red and it just looked like a Christmas tree, like, dick in her face. And then it's never really come up since then. But Gino had to have seen that by now. So we'll see if there's a... Look, I get that he is the one who's violated trust, but now she has kind of violated trust too with this whole Dane money thing. Mm-hmm. So she's going to freak out, but this is like a wash at this point.
Yeah. This was set up, and don't tell me, you cannot convince me that Gino didn't know that Jasmine was not
the film crew there.
Yeah.
Like a whole 90-day film crew, man.
Gino. You knew that this was gonna be aired in some capacity on this show.
That's got to be an interesting conversation with the film crew and their families, huh? I had to film, hey babe, I'm sorry, I had to film Gino's bachelor party at a Michigan strip club.
Oh man.
I have to have like a hazard pay, man. Gino sitting there and fluids flying all over the place. Ugh. It's just a nightmare.
I will say that whose wife was that? A cousin? It doesn't matter. It's somebody in Dana's family.
It was Dana's wife.
She set it up pretty well, dude. I would say. And she also she does not care that her husband was at a strip club. When Jasmine's like, well, did they touch the strippers? She's like, well, yeah, probably. Like, they were there for a really long time.
They were there for like 17 hours in a row. Gino, we need more ass bongo footage. Kitty, get back here.
So great. Oh, I love
it. Where's Misty? Gino really liked her. Get her back on stage.
This podcast and this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's the holiday season, and honestly, I love the holidays. Yeah, I'm like one of those people, but I do struggle with the stress of all the extra social engagements, especially since I'm kind of an introvert. And I also know a lot of my friends do struggle with the holiday blues, either because of a loss in their family or just family drama that really kicks it up a notch during this time of year. This time of year can be a lot, and it's natural to feel some sadness and definitely some anxiety about it. Adding something new like therapy to your life can counteract some of those negative feelings and can be a bright spot amid all of the stress and change, and something to look forward to and make you feel grounded during this time of year. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have time slotted to talk through the hard things that are going on in my life, my worries, frustrations, things that I'm anxious about, I'm better able to take care of the people in my life and actually enjoy this time of year a lot more. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it empowers me to feel the best version of myself. It isn't just for those of us who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/craycray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/craycray. And thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode and this podcast.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, let's go to some big guns here. Let's talk Ashley and Manuel. You are a grumpy kitty and you need a nap. I'm going to try that line on my significant other next time he makes me angry.
Speak Spanish. Hablo Español.
I'm not really sure this therapist is helping as much as she is translating.
Yeah, that's... It seems like an information gathering session, and there's some translation happening. She really only... I mean, look, at the end of the visit, Manuel doesn't even agree to let her into his life more, or to her, to add to her life more. He just says... yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. And then they leave.
Yeah. Yep. Great stuff. They don't really, like, Manuel won't discuss anything. He just says, like, I want to be left alone. My private life is private. I don't want to tell you anything. I don't know how you even consider going through with a marriage with somebody that says this stuff to you.
Do you think that it's a cultural difference or he's scamming?
Scamming. 100%. Yeah.
And it's not like he said, I am a private person. I feel uncomfortable sharing things because of these experiences in my culture that I've had before. And here's an example of why something I hold it close to the vest. He doesn't do that. He's just like, no, I like my privacy. And then like moves on. Like, that's it.
We do. It is like curious that I know Annalie is from Peru and Manuel's from Ecuador, but they both are like hiding these relationships from their families.
Yeah.
And that is strange. It is like weird, but.
Well, look who they're with.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Ashley is a. And Clayton is a thumb person.
Yeah. So Ashley talks about how she hasn't met Manuel's kids. And she's like, why are you just now discussing this with a therapist? Is this something that you've discussed with Manuel? Like, hey, when am I going to meet your kids? I should probably meet your kids.
It is crazy to me that this discussion being resolved in a positive way was not a prerequisite for Manuel to come to the United States on a K-1 visa from Ashley's perspective. It's insane to me. I don't understand. This is, again, like, this is what we were talking about the intro, like the distance between what Ashley professes to believe and what she does is like, it's massive. It's incredible.
Yeah. Manuel says, it's not like I'm never going to introduce her to my kids. Well, you guys have been dating for like 2 years at least.
I just have no plans to, even though we're about to get married. Send money.
And then his excuse is she won't be able to understand my kids like Spanish. I don't know why that's true. She understands you.
I know. And he kind of half says that he's afraid that she'll get mad at them and yell at them or something.
Yeah, she says, Ashley's intense.
Okay. Okay. Here's another question. A follow up. Why would you marry someone that you believe would be like verbally abusive to your kids?
Great question. Why would you be on a reality TV show when you want your life to be private? My life is private. My kids are private. Okay. Ashley is also your private life. This is bizarre.
I'm going to go on one of the most popular reality TV shows in history and just kind of tell everyone to go fuck the. I wonder if the producers fucking hate him.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Ashley is like, they love Ashley and they just fucking hate his guts.
How frustrating would it be to be a production assistant and try to get this guy to like say things and tell and narrate what's going on? And he's just like, that's my private life.
They have to have a treasure trove of troll footage, though.
Them
asking him things and him be, I bet they could do a supercut of him saying meh, or I'm not going to talk about that, or just like completely ignoring the producers that they're going to play at the tell all. It's going to be hysterical.
I can't wait for this guy at the tell all because you're put on the spot. I really hope he's there in person.
It's not going to answer one question from Sean Robinson.
He's not going to give a fuck either. It's going to be great.
So apparently he's already sending money to people. Unclear at this moment if it's her money, but
where is he getting it? How's he getting it?
I don't know, but he can't work. So he's already sending money to people, and she got mad about that. And he uses that, her getting mad, as a justification for not telling her anything. I mean, it's like 5D chess over here, you know, but just a brilliant argument that you've constructed for this therapist who definitely did not see right through that.
Kyle, I'm sorry I took $250 of your money and sent it to my friend in Ecuador. Don't ask me questions about it. It's my private life.
And the fact that you got mad just makes me not want to tell you when I steal from you.
I'm dying to know where he got this $250. Like, has he been collecting change from trips to the grocery store? Did he just take it out of her wallet? Is he have a bank card? I need details.
That's great.
He's going to continue to do this, though. He said that, didn't he make a comment? I need to send them more money in a couple weeks. Something to that effect.
Of course, because no one's working over there anymore. So of course, it's to send money.
Yeah.
This is what we said a couple weeks ago. Like, he just fucking bounced. And he probably mumbled something about got to go to work. And Papa went to go get some cigarettes, and that was it. So, of course, he has to fucking send money. Yeah.
But Kyle, Manuel says it's hard for him because he's always lived alone.
So hard. I have multiple kids, and I've always lived alone. Didn't he live with his mom?
Yeah.
So fucking funny.
I think he probably lived with his wife or like mother of his children.
His
maybe they're not married.
Actual wife.
Yeah. And this is the same as Rob saying, I'm transitioning from being single to having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Manuel's also transitioning.
Everything in due time. So they go to a restaurant where it's unclear if they actually ever ate anything, even though Ashley orders half the menu, and where he immediately professes that the therapist was a clown and, she helps you, not us, which look, I have to say I think that's kind of fair, but listen, like if you're that therapist, like, how are you supposed to stay neutral? That was like, anyone would be like, oh yeah, you gotta do a lot of things differently, bro.
Ashley, maybe you should come on your own next week.
Ashley, you should break up with him and go to individual therapy to discover why you are with this person in the first place. I think that's priority number one, honestly.
I feel like you can't do couples therapy unless they first validate that you both want to be there. Isn't that the first thing that they ask you?
That seems important.
Like, you know, it's like if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous or
finish your thought. Sorry.
No, if you go to AA, like the you have to be there willingly for it to work. You know, I think it's the same with like any type of therapy.
I just completely disagree, because if that was true, then we would never have couples therapy on any of these reality shows, because every single fucking time one of them is drugged there, usually literally screaming.
That's true.
Do you remember Florian at Surprise Couples Therapy?
Oh, how could I forget anything with Florian?
Surprise couples therapy is extremely productive. I don't know if you knew that.
Very ethical as well, I've heard.
Yeah, totally. It's a super good sign when you trick someone. Generally to go to therapy.
He's like, Manuel says, I've always been fine. I don't have any problems. Yeah. Like, to discuss with the therapist. His life is perfect. He has no problems.
His life is perfect. He's never done anything strange. And everything's great.
Yeah.
Why are we making fun of this guy? We should all be so lucky that our life is so perfect.
Honestly,
Manuel, the hero we didn't know we needed.
It seems like his life is pretty chill. And like, I'm a little jealous that he can be that relaxed.
Just gets to fuck and fuck and send money and dick around on a burner phone, I guess.
He literally tells Ashley in that restaurant that her opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And
it's good
her stuff. Excuse, he says, anda, which means like, get out of here. Like, ciao, bye. He literally doesn't care if she leaves. This is like what we saw in the preview for Sarper in tow. Where he's like, book a ticket. But Ashley's excuse for staying with him is that they've been together, or it took them 2 years to get the visa, and she doesn't want to give up after 30 days.
Sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I hate it when couples say this. They're like, well, we've been together for 7 years. It's like, yeah, you wasted a lot of time. You should break up a day.
Totally. So you want to be together 8 years and then break up? Like, he has told you to your face that he's not changing. And it's not like he's not changing because he's afraid. He's changing because he thinks things are great. So, like, why? Like, what's the incentive? Even Rob was like, sort of admitted to a little bit of immaturity. You know, I'm transitioning from being single. Manuel doesn't even do that. He just says, I'm the best.
He really has like a lot of confidence. I got to respect it. It's so embarrassing though, when they leave this restaurant and they're like fighting in the parking lot and Manuel just opts to walk home. He won't even get in a car with her. He's so mad.
Unclear how far they are from her house. But
clearly they haven't had sex in like 6 hours, because otherwise this wouldn't be happening.
This needs to be resolved immediately. Thank you.
With the sex magic.
Yes.
Anything else about these two?
No.
What if Manuel is actually just like a totally normal guy? And I don't know how that would be. He's just a family man that just wants to be with his family in New York City. They just, you know, we're getting all the bad fights here. He's playing it up a little bit, but no, that's just not possible.
He's acting like a man from the 40s. And you know what I mean? Like, he just expects to fuck and put dinner on the table and we're not going to really talk. Things are great. He's acting like a tall white man with a job at General Motors in like 1939.
Therapy.
That's for red commies.
Things are working out great for Manuel. He's got no problems, zero problems. Everything is great for him.
You gringos think therapy can fix anything. If you want to hear where'd you get that this holiday season, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want.
Kyle, I shop on Uncommon Goods quite a lot, especially through the pandemic. It's pretty awesome. I have a go-to gift that is the sourdough starter kit. It's great.
I haven't gotten one of these.
I know. Well, maybe you will this year. And I just recently got like a grow your own basil kit and a truffle making kit. I really liked like the making food kits. It was a go-to during COVID and I still am really into them. And last year for Christmas, I got a boomers versus millennials card game. That was actually like a huge hit at the holidays and we all played together. It was super fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/craycray. That's uncommongoods.com/craycray for 15% off. Don't miss out on the limited time offer at Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Today's podcast is sponsored by NutriSense. That was the sound of the NutriSense biosensor. It's this little device that you put on the back of your arm, and then it provides you with real-time feedback on how your body responds to food that you're eating, exercise, stress, even your sleep. With NutriSense, you just take a photo of your meal, which is really easy. I always wanted something that did this. I just want to take a picture of the meal. You adjust the portion size for NutriSense, and it does the rest. NutriSense helps you track your data, see your glucose trends, and understand your macronutrient breakdown for each meal. You also get an overall glucose score for each meal based on your body's response. And here's what's awesome. You're also matched with a board-certified nutritionist. You're not just left on your own. So the nutritionist will help you review your data and answer all of your questions. Plus, they can help you with a personalized nutrition plan so that you can achieve your goals. You should try NutriSense today. It will open your eyes in a profound way for how your food and your exercise and your lifestyle choices are affecting you. What's more, it empowers you with real-time feedback loop showing the consequences of the food and lifestyle choices that you're making. It's a powerful tool for understanding your body and affecting positive change in your life specifically. You can get all of this today. NutriSense has a special offer for our listeners. Visit NutriSense.com/craycray and use code craycray to start decoding your body's messages and pave the way for a healthier life. Be sure to tell them that you learned about NutriSense on the 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray podcast. That's NutriSense.com/craycray to save $30 off your first month, plus get a month of board certified nutritionist support. And thank you to NutriSense for sponsoring this episode.
Let's move on to Annalie and Clayton. No guinea pig episode.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
Also, no fucking.
It looks like that problem continues. You know what there is, though? There's a really mean sister, and there's a mom that has really dug into her closet to get out her fancy clothes
her for Sunday this lunch best. Date.
Yeah.
I think mom actually really likes her.
Mom is being so cringely, sickly sweet. She's trying really hard. She's so socially awkward, but mom means well. Truly.
I think she does so far. We'll see when they actually live together more than 10 minutes. But
I mean, she kind of says te amo again this week when she kind of leans over and gives her a side hug. I was like, ooh, it was weird, but she means well.
Who doesn't mean well is his sister. But before that, we have this whole sex conversation, which isn't really a conversation. It's really more like, don't touch me. In fact, don't even kiss me. Your mom is right there. Right there. She's already determined the thickness of the walls.
She does say the material in which his apartment is made from is not conducive to making noise in one room and having the mom in the closet not hear it very close by. I really do. I was cringing so hard watching this and like audibly saying things like, ooh. But I do think Annalie is just really nervous with the cameras filming and with the mom being nearby. We'll see if they go to a hotel. I think she just looks really uncomfortable in front of the camera, which is like a normal person thing to feel.
Yeah, she's not, she doesn't have like boss bitch energy. So, the camera doesn't turn her on. Mom being right there doesn't turn her on. Kim, she hasn't fucking showered yet, which by the way, slept in bed before showering.
Jesus.
Ding, ding, ding.
Why? Bingo card.
Yeah. And she's fucking tired. She wants to sleep the entire day. And what's his idea? Put her on a goddamn horse.
Yeah, I'm divided about the horse thing because
I would be on sex strike too.
It's actually quite sweet that he planned an activity for her. Like most of these people, the significant other shows up and they're like, "What do you want to do? Go to Walmart?
Let's go to D&B's. Let's play skee ball.
I haven't washed the sheets or like cleaned my house at all, but you know, let's have sex and then maybe go down to like the pharmacy or Target or something. Like that's it." He's actually like, this looked fun and nice and, well, I don't know about fun. It was just a horse like walking in a circle. It looked pretty sad, but it was pretty.
Do you want a sirloin steak and a wedge salad in a skee ball and hoops setting? I've got tickets. I can buy you a pencil.
Oh, God. I mean, maybe he should have taken her to Dave and Buster's, but only after she had a day to sleep.
Yeah.
Then Clayton asks Annalie after the horseback riding, which looked like 3 minutes of walking in a circle, why don't you post about us on social media? This does make me a little skeptical of Annalie because she says, well, I couldn't just like tell my dad I'm engaged to this guy I met 4 days ago. I'm like, that's totally fair. But the engagement happened like over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So like warm him up over time.
I know.
There's no excuse now. I'm worried for Clayton.
It's hard because like, I don't believe for a second that anything in this entire scenario is conducive to sexiness, like at all.
True.
Absolutely nothing. But on the other hand, the whole social media, my dad is sensitive thing, it feels flimsy to me. I don't know, like, at what point does it change?
Yeah.
Her plan is to make it seem like they met at on this education trip that she said, or work trip. I don't remember if she said she was going for school or for work. I think work, right? But that means then that if the story is that we just met on this work trip and then we got married so quick, then that is even faster than the thing that you're embarrassed about.
Yeah. It seems like having met online is the actual problem, right?
Maybe, but he did visit. So how did the visit work? Did she just say, I'm going on a trip with my girlfriends and then bang and bang and bang?
She said she had to go on a work trip.
Okay,
so that was like part of his. Yeah, he said that to mom last week. He was like, you know, I didn't meet her family when I was in Ecuador because she would say, oh, I have to go on a work trip, and they'd go to a different city and hang out. Yeah, it's really bad.
Like that, like when I guess I could see it being concerning that you have an American boyfriend and you're going overseas to marry him and you have 90 days. Like, okay, fine. But what would be wrong with just introducing my boyfriend that he happens to be from America? And like, yeah, we met pretty quick. Just okay. Like here's the scenario. Just have them meet him and maybe just don't tell them that you're already engaged. Like, can that be a compromise? But she didn't even want him to meet them.
Say like, oh, I met this guy out. I don't know. He was visiting Ecuador and like, oh, now he, you know, we've been kind of talking and dating and he's going to come back and visit. And he wants to meet you. Like fly out there and meet her family and act like you've just been chatting. I don't know. There's so many ways to go about it.
Or just make it better. Seem like it's not as serious as it is, but just meet them and get the vibe, you know, which may be. I think the real reason is that, for one thing, I think she's just embarrassed of him.
Yeah,
he's socially awkward. He's socially awkward. He's like kind of, he's an interesting looking guy, if I'm being mean. And I don't know how, like, I think it also is a socioeconomic thing, because it's like the vibe that I'm getting is that her parents are pretty well off. And I wonder if they would judge him for the way that he lives with his mom in a little apartment, and he's not rolling in it. I wonder if they just wouldn't get it, or they would think that she's above him.
Yeah, that could be part of it for sure. I do wonder about that. And this is really suspect. The thing that he does have going for him is that Clayton speaks really good Spanish. So at least he'd be able to talk to her parents.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still awkward, but she shuts down this conversation though. And that's also sus. Like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And she just like gets up and ends the conversation. It's just, for me, it's strange because you should be strategizing with your significant other. It sounds like she's strategizing on her own, and he keeps asking her, like, when am I going to meet your family? And she just keeps shoving it off, and he's a pushover. So he's like, okay, like, strategize together about how to make it work. That's what's most concerning to me. That and the sister situation, Brandy. Woof. Wow. I guess if this was meeting the family is going to be like on her side, maybe they don't want to. It is strange though that both the mom and Brandy also say like they didn't know much about Annalie. The sister, it seems, didn't know that she existed either.
No, that is strange. You would think that Clayton would be shouting from the rooftops to anyone that would listen about. But I just think that I think he's just very introverted. He hasn't been in a relationship this serious, and he doesn't know how to act.
I also wonder how close is he with his sister? You know, it seems like the only two people that he talks to on a day-to-day basis outside of work are that gamer guy that he's never actually met in real physical life and his mom. And it makes me wonder, like, does he talk to his sister that often? We just don't know. Like, why doesn't she know about Annalie?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I think the only thing I can think is that, which is maybe a little bit borne out by what we saw this episode, maybe his sister is just straight up fucking racist and he didn't want to tell her. Like, seriously. Like, the elephant in the room that's not being addressed is that she's shitty, not necessarily because she's overprotective, which isn't something to fucking brag about. Overprotective necessarily means you're doing too much, girl. I think that she is upset and mad that she doesn't speak English, and she just wants to pay for a green card. She's an immigrant. I think she's a fucking terrible person.
My sister is either really nice or really horrible. Wow.
That means horrible. There's not a single fucking person on earth that is always insanely evil, like 99% of the time. You know what I mean? Fucking Simon from the Tinder Swindler, I'm sure, is a swell guy once in a while.
He's also either really nice or really horrible.
If you're frequently an asshole intermixed with being a lovely person, that makes you a fucking asshole.
But Kyle, they're gonna go drink bourbon because sister likes to drink.
Yeah. Let's take the problem drinker that always starts yelling racist shit at immigrants to a bourbon tasting. This looked lovely, by the way.
It looked really good.
I wanted to do it. It's like the number one reason to visit Kentucky. Like, that ain't horses for me.
Man. No, it's definitely bourbon. Well, he wants her to get loose. That's his.
Hi.
She gets loose, but not in the way that he wants.
It's so nice to meet you. What's with your social media? Like, who the fuck? It's so dumb, dude. It's so stupid.
She's immediately so clearly annoyed that she can't talk to Annalie. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's like, I feel like I'm like asking her questions, but I have to talk to you. And I mean, I understand, like, didn't you expect that? I'm sure he told you that she doesn't speak English and that he speaks really good Spanish so they can communicate. So bring your translator app or figure it out. There's so many options nowadays.
I don't know her intentions.
What she wants intentions? A green card. What? Is this season it's two? Great.
Look, I mean, she understood the assignment from Matt Sharp. You know what I mean?
She did. And it's just, it's so funny to me that it's always the people with the absolute least or like the worst kind of living situations that the relatives are like, you're just using this person. Like Jasmine's just using Gino. Like you think Annalie is using guinea pig boy to live Dude. Among the sawdust and in the animal shit and the mom in the closet? You think she's using him?
His most wow. prized possession is his gaming mouse.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
What is she getting out of this?
I guess, like, look, the idea. Okay. Let's assume the worst case scenario that she's here for a green card. And as soon as she gets it, she will abandon him and go build her own life.
Yeah.
The astounding stupidity and ignorance it takes to believe that her life without speaking English, and I don't think that she's college educated, I could be wrong, for an immigrant who came here that doesn't speak English with literally no money to hang out in a hoarder house for a couple years and get a green card, and then the life's just going to be magical for her, is the stupidest fucking shit I've ever heard.
It really is. It's infuriating. Like, and Clayton says, well, I can't imagine her like faking a relationship for 2.5 years just to come here and people get a green card. People
do it all the time, Kim.
I'm like, what people? Who? What people,
Brandy? Have you watched Brandy? 90 Day Fiancé? The fact is that the people on this show that are faking it, there's actually, not, I don't think that many. They don't last more than like 6 months. Like,
I know. At most.
Yeah. Lou Hayes, that motherfucker, like, he made it 5 months. He was out of there.
And the last cast member that went to Kentucky has not fared very well. So.
Yeah. How's Karini doing lately? All roses, right?
Karini would have been much better off staying in Brazil with her family. Let's just put it that way.
The fucking jungle, like one of the deepest jungles. I don't know.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen,
way happier and way better off there.
All she had to do was wait until she was 18 and Paul would have lost interest.
Then Brandy, I don't know if she's drunk or this is just her personality.
I just love sorry. That you just move on from that.
I'm sorry. It took a hot second for that to sink in. Brandy is just okay. I'm over it. Just it's fine. Just get married. I'm gonna cry.
I think
Annalie is pissed at me, and I don't give a fuck. Okay.
This is funny because she talks herself into this. That's the funny part.
I know.
At no point did Clayton, Annalie, or Mom say like anything concerning really at all, except like the very quick little story about why her parents don't know. That's all it took. It was like, well, this was fun, I'm over it, fine, get married, I'm gonna cry. And like, we've never seen an ancillary character storm off like this so quickly over so little. It was great.
Yeah, it Annalie and Clayton literally did nothing. I'm interested if Brandy will be, I mean, clearly she's going to come around. She'll be at the wedding, whatever.
Maybe she's overprotective, live in a closet Kim. With them. She's overprotective. I don't know. You remember Gabe's sister didn't come to the wedding. I don't know. There's a precedent.
Oh my God. If I were Gabe, I would still be pissed about that.
Yeah. She a precedent was, has been set.
Ugh, not good. All right.
Apparently it's been hours that she's been sobbing in a parking lot. Hours, according to her.
This, I don't believe that. This scene
Gino. You're dead. Buy me tickets now.
This scene was 8 minutes long, I think. It was like,
you abandoned me, Gino.
I don't even know what happened. It was like Jasmine was screaming. Production's trying to console her. Gina's trying to console her. We learn nothing.
She talks about her father abandoning her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He reminds her. I loved when he reminded her of all the evidence reports, which is a great callback. Thank you for that, Gino.
All those times you called me, I always answered. I was always available.
Don't you remember all the times that I was picking up Macaroni Grill and you were on FaceTime with me?
Oh, man. She's like, yeah. But she does talk about like her or basically she's got daddy issues. She's like, I understand, but we knew that. The best part of this is not the 8 minutes that we see her still screaming in the parking lot. It's when she's cleaning. Chino runs out to like do something nice, which is like get her dog some stairs and some new clothes. Meanwhile, Jasmine is like going through all his drawers to find evidence.
finding reasons to be angry.
Oh my God. The shit she finds is so funny. A napkin from his 40th birthday party, which is an offense because his ex-wife threw that for him. A Kama Sutra book, because they've only done one position of Kama Sutra. A love letter that says, you turn me on every day.
I interpreted that as saying they've only ever done one position generally, missionary.
Oh.
And then you pissed on his face in a hot tub. That's got to count as another position.
There were butt plugs earlier this season.
Yeah.
Let us not forget. Never forget. The love letter was so funny when she said, she says, you turn me on every day. I wish I was that lucky. I wish she turned me on every day.
That the fact that she reads it is so savage. So good.
Rose.
And then why does he have like a notebook to practice Spanish and he only writes one word?
That's totally fabricated, though. She's like, this is where he was learning Spanish. I'm like, there is zero evidence he was learning Spanish. All you found was a piece of paper that said bitches on it in Spanish. Like, this could mean any number of things. Who knows?
She still kind of took the best interpretation of finding that piece of paper, you know?
That's true.
He's putting in some effort. No, not really. I think he just wrote bitches in Spanish one day in a rage about you.
Well, we also know that he was learning Portuguese with the Rosetta Stone. And of course, she's pissed because she thinks it's for his ex-wife. But he's like, it's for work. I went to Brazil for 6 months for work. I had to like learn some Portuguese.
Clearly, I don't learn languages because I'm in love with someone. I mean, case in point, you know.
Jasmine just proves that she's crazier than Gino and all these. I'm not like team Gino with this, but I truly don't think that Gino is keeping this stuff for any sentimental value. He just never throws shit away and doesn't clean.
I mean, is there fresh jizz on the napkin?
Gross.
I don't think that he has like a shrine to his ex-wife.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
The baby talking of the dog really, don't come at me, but that was a little concerning. I'm sure everyone talks to their dog in a different voice, but like, she's having an entire conversation with the dog, with the dog like speaking to her.
Yeah.
It's a little on camera.
Kyle, that's not what's most concerning. What's most concerning is that Jasmine went to his ex-wife's Instagram, has a screenshot of the ex-wife's dog, and then has a side-by-side comparison saved in her phone of the ex-wife dog versus Coco. This is insane behavior.
I don't understand the conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory, she says, quote, she's trying to replace us. Like, what? What does that mean? Also, do we have any proof? Okay, let's just entertain this for a second. We don't even have proof that she got the dog after Jasmine got Coco. No. This dog could be like 9 years old. We have no
Kyle, how do we know it's her dog? This could be like a relative's dog or like.
I don't know. This is great.
She's stalking this woman.
She's so stupid. She's using Photoshop to put the pictures of the dogs together. It's awesome. It's so unhinged.
I would be more concerned about the hoarding of junk and just like the general like dirtiness of the house than finding any one of these items individually.
Right. Yeah.
But it's so funny that she literally rifled through every drawer in this house and collected a coffee table full of evidence.
She assembles it onto the table.
It's so good.
The greatest evidence report. And Gino's so happy
when he comes home. I got the stairs.
Some memories. Oh, cool. I think he's like excited to go down memory lane for a second.
He is. He's like, oh, that's for my 40th birthday party.
Until he realizes what's happening. Then
the nail salon date with Michelle makes this 20 times worse.
Oh, my God. This is great. I mean, at first, you know, hey, she's kind of got a friend. This is cool. You know,
this makes me wonder if she does get along with Gino's family off camera. Like, you just don't go get your nails done with somebody you hate.
Oh, the way I interpret my conspiracy theory about this, my tinfoil, is that Michelle is a fucking agent of chaos sent by Dana to throw dynamite at this relationship until it explodes, because I just don't believe that she it's one thing to give away that he had a bachelor party, like that's an oopsie, okay, maybe I could see that, but then she keeps going like, yeah, they went to a strip club and I'm sure that lots of women were touching him all over, like she just keeps going and going and just
so funny.
It's a tailor-made speech to trigger Jasmine. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel like it. It's either that she actually thinks that's how you behave as a true friend, and she's like trying to be honest because she cares about her. That's option A, which I don't believe.
Or no, I don't either.
B, she's intentionally trying to stir shit up, either for TV or because Gino's family fucking hates her. It's great either way.
She also is like, the questions she asks are kind of trolling questions. Like, how's it going being with Gino 24/7?
That's a leading question.
Not great. And then when she asks about, Gino kept the stuff, and Michelle immediately says, well, Dana's kept some stuff. I just don't care. It's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
Jasmine's immediately kind of calms down about it. She kind of expects Michelle to be on her side and say, well, that's not acceptable. But Michelle's like,
having another woman tell her that she's overreacting a little bit gets her to take a step back and consider if this is her own mania. Depending on how long you live with someone, I could see being upset about this, but I think she has to know that Gino is just kind of a little like mini, he's not even a hoarder. He's just a really, really lazy bachelor, gross dude.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Yeah. Maybe you should like trust Gino a little more. What a crazy thought. But yeah, the bachelor party, we get like some sepia-toned flashbacks. I want 20 times more bachelor party content. Did the women touch him? Did a woman touch Gino? It was a bachelor party. I'm sure he got touched. Oh, so and then dark.
Smash cut to ass bongos.
Nothing will ever top the original Ari and Benny ass bongos, but
and Kim, this will be a close second. Obviously they're going to fight about this a lot, but you know that we're going to see all this footage at the tell-all just to fuck with her.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I hope he got handsy.
It's going to be a disaster. That's dark
to say, because like I don't wish on any woman for like Gino to have his hands all over her, but for the purposes of reality television, this could get bad.
It's just going to be a fucking trainer. I love how they teased this lipstick thing since the first preview. And yeah, it was an explosion, but in terms of the Jasmine Gino scale, look, this was over in 48 hours. This was like a minor blip.
Oh yeah. She's going to like think that the lip gloss is from the bachelor party, right?
These are my stripper Gino.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear Kyle and I talk about 90 Day Fiancé the other way and other reality TV? Or maybe you just hate ads? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about other shows in the 90 Day franchise and occasionally other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month, so about the cost of a Starbucks, and it's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice, especially with Supercast. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about 1.5 to 2 hours long, where we discuss all the couples and 90 Day gossip with no ads, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, any other 90 Day shows that are currently airing. Currently, that's 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, or TOE Season 5, and The Family Chantel Final Season. And we occasionally chime in on Plathville, Gold Bachelor, some other stuff that's going on in reality TV. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com.
Kyle, thanks for listening, guys. No, I have nothing.
No final thoughts?
I have no thoughts at all. I'm Gino and Jasmine out of final thoughts, Kim.
Yeah, I feel dumber, but happier. Yeah.
It's been 5 years of that. I'm really like hitting my dumb stride, I feel like.
Oh, that's great. I liked this episode, though, generally. I thought it had some good, funny parts to it. I laughed out loud on five occasions, I counted. And Gino and Jasmine, I thought I'd be more sick of them by now, but they really are continuing to bring it.
It's just the really roller coaster. Stuff. It's every episode something new happens and it's resolved and we're on to the next thing. It's just absurd.
Bitches on the Notebook had me rolling. And it's everything that was extrapolated from that. Oh, he was learning Spanish. Oh, he was learning Spanish just in this notebook. How do you deduce that? All it is like a blank notebook with bitches written on it. That's it.
That's great.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This was fun. We'll be back next week.
Thanks, bitches. Talk to you later.
Bye.